This is Uva Nevi. We're learning together the book Gan HaShalom. Shalom Arush. Garden of Peace, Guide to a Happy and Wonderful Marriage with Hashem's Help. Reading through the Hebrew version of the book on page 203. We're in a section of the book is dealing with the greatness of Shalom Bayit and how important above everything else should be the person's highest priority. There's nothing more important in a person's life, certainly materially and even spiritually to a great extent, that Shalom Bayit shouldn't be put above all of them. And in this chapter, Rav Arush is going through a number of different scenarios where you might have thought that something is more important than your Shalom Bayit, and Rav Arush comes along to show you that's not correct. It's not the correct view. Nothing we've found so far that we've come across is more important. In this section that we just started reading in the last shiur, we're looking at the topic of where the husband and wife are not on the same page spiritually. In this example, where the husband wants to make tshuva, the husband is stronger, he's feeling stronger in his desire to make tshuva, a desire to keep Torah and mitzvahs, and his wife is not yet there, not ready yet. What should he do? So Rav Arush is explaining that for sure a husband should never criticize his wife, should never try and force her to do anything. It's not my job in this world to fix anyone, including my wife. Hashem didn't give me a wife to fix. That's his job. My job is to do the best I can do. I'm not here to fix anyone. Can't fix anything. If I start thinking that I can fix people, then I'm in big trouble. I'm then playing God. And I can't do anything. I can offer advice, I can give support, I can give encouragement. I can't get anyone to do anything. And certainly not my wife. The problem is that the wife, I think I can. Usually other people, Shem puts me out of my misery. I realized pretty quickly that I can't fix anyone else, even those close to me, my parents, my siblings. Well, eventually, even my kids, I realized I can't fix them either, right? But my wife, person has a havamina, he has an inbuilt default position that he thinks he can fix his wife. That's not true. Hashem's going to show me failures and lackings in my wife that I think I can fix with a good piece of advice. Just follow my wisdom, my wife. I'm very experienced in the area of making latkes. I can give you advice on how to do that. I'm very experienced in the way of washing the bed linen. I can tell you exactly how you meant to hang it up. And etc. Hashem is testing me. Hashem is showing me, he's dangling in front of me a carrot, saying, here, let's see if you're going to take this one. I'm going to show you something that's so obvious that your wife's doing wrong, and all you need to do to, she's a little tweak.
And my wife the other day, Hashem, she made me a cake. Yeah. I think that's very good. She did it yesterday, actually, but I know I cooked too. I was actually a chef once myself. So I thought it's very, very good. She actually thinks that also cooking is good, and it's good, it's not. Wow. So I know it's very good, it's very tasty, and I was saying eating, I was enjoying eating all day. I just told her it needs to be more sweet. You think well, I feel like this?
It's not for me to say, but it depends on if she was jumping for joy and was over the moon, then maybe it was okay. If she lit up with light of Hashem when you said those words to her, maybe you did okay. If not, tough. It's very difficult.
How this was done on to make it better?
It's not my problem. It's not my problem. If Hashem gave me a wife that feeds to me cake l'dugma that's not sweet enough, I take it up with Hashem. I either say, thank you very much, Hashem, that's exactly how you want me to eat cake, Or I say, Hashem, you want me to take cake like this? No, please. And I go and then scream in the field to him to change it, not to her. In truth, that's the approach. But yeah, for sure, it's very hard. Hard, right? But we see. Firstly, we see from reading the books of Rav Arash, we have to trust in him and the tzaddikim. But secondly, we see in practice. We see in practice what happens. It's very hard not to. Particularly, and if you're really good, meaning you're really good at never criticizing your wife. If you get to that level where you never criticize, so she's now going to start asking you, what do you think? You think I should change anything? And then you're really in trouble, because now she asked me. So I've got an even greater yitzhahara. Yeah, but she asked me. She wants me to tell her. Gets her to a higher level. At a higher level. That's also a trap. It's just a higher level trap. No, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. My mind said wonderful. No, I should. I changed. No, it's wonderful. My mind just put a bit of. No.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They know you're lying.
Doesn't matter. But you're in a position like this. You're in a position of being in trouble or really being in trouble. So go for being in trouble and lie. Lie and let her know you're lying, and you'll be in a little bit of trouble. And don't jump the whole way in and really be like, tell Hashem, you put me in this position. It's a kilu. It looks like a no-win. Often we get a no-win situation. So I have to pick the best of two bad options, kilu. It's the best of two bad options. But actually it's not. It looks like on the surface, but actually what I've done, because my wife sees how far I'm prepared to go to make her feel good. So she knows I didn't like that cake. And she knows I'm saying it's nice just to make her happy. That's underneath, that's really great. She knows how much you're working. She appreciates that. She knows how easy it is for you to say, actually, it didn't taste so good. Because she tasted it well too, and she didn't like it either. So she knows it didn't taste good either. But when you tell to her a lie that's obvious lie, she knows you're lying. But she's very happy that you're lying.
So the simple, Erev Shabbos, come in, taste the soup, honey, doesn't need more salt. Should always yield, it is the perfect amount of salt. Nothing more new.
Yeah. Look, it's very hard. I personally might say, I'm not saying that I'm the best in this, but I'm just telling you what might come to my mind. If you like it, it's great. Well, if it's your taste, it's great. Like, I put it back on her. For sure, she knows whether something tastes good or not. She's also got taste buds. Right. So, they might not be exactly the same as mine, but yeah. But in general, if you praise everything, you can't go wrong. It's like a default position. There may well be some once in a blue moon when it was okay to say, but you're never going to get it right anyway. So don't even look for that opportunity to find the one where you could have said, and just stick with the rule. You're free. You're clean. You can't do anything wrong. Stick with a very simple rule. Very hard to put it into practice every single case, but it's a simple rule.
Bottom line, never, ever, ever tell your wife that something's burnt.
Yes. Right, I can see that's still painful. Yes, Tom. Okay, so what we're talking about. So here we're talking about a situation where the husband is feeling, it's probably not true, but he's feeling that way anyway. He's feeling more burning with desire for holy things. And his wife is. I want to do more than his wife does. What should he do? So this is an even bigger test. Because now I've got God on my side. Right? There's me and Hashem against you. So obviously we're right. But no, even though I've got Hashem here with me, and he agrees with me, right, that we should be keeping Shabbos, whatever it is, right? Even then, it's just a test. My job is not to turn my wife into a Rebbetzin. Right? If Hashem wants her to be a Rebbetzin, she'll be a Rebbetzin. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. Hashem has a bigger plan, which is she came here to fix me, not the other way around. I didn't come here to fix her.
Then what does another say? What does he say to do? Sometimes a wife, my wife asks me a question, to eat a certain food that she knows, like we never eat that touch food.
Uh-huh.
Ever. So she sees something, I don't know, she got like a, someone gave her, you know, whatever, a chocolate or something.
Okay.
It's a kosher that we don't know how to eat.
Okay.
And she asks me, is it kosher to eat? And sometimes she asks me, will you eat it? And she knows I won't eat it.
So I think, and I don't know if this is a correct answer, but I think that in that situation I might say, and I don't know if this is the right thing to do, test it and find out at your own, is that I don't think I'd eat it, but you can make your own choice. Which is true. I wouldn't eat it, but you can choose. You can choose. Right?
You know, it's easier when they're pregnant for food, because then you can do the biggest big call of nefesh. The woman has a tava and she doesn't get it, so you can have
But the truth, the truth is, if it's kosher, it has a heksha, even if it's not my heksha. Right? If there is someone to rely on, there's absolutely nothing stopping her. There's top of this madrigas in Yiddishkeit to get to a highland, but there's no issur in eating something that is kosher that you can rely on it. That there was whom to rely on that it's kosher. So I don't have to stop her. Kilo, if she's putting it in her mouth, I'd have to run over and grab it.
Like,
it's yours, it's easy. So it's not something I would do.
No, but like, we don't rely on that kosher.
Who's we? Who's this we? I.
My Rav.
Me and my Rav. My Rav and I listen to him. But she's a person in her own right. She's a smart lady, I assume. She might do. She's got to be at least a certain level, right? She knows she can make that choice. It's not a choice that's beyond her to make for herself. She knows what that thing is in her hand in terms of, right? She's not mistaken. It's not like that you know something about it that she doesn't. So she knows the same thing. She chooses to eat it. So she, why is that your problem?
No, she puts it on me. You know? She asks me a question.
She asked you a question.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then she chose of her own free will to eat it. What's that got to do with you?
Yeah.
Mamash. It's not your choice. It's your wife's cheshbon. You have a problem with that. I don't like my wife eating stuff that I wouldn't eat or that we don't hold in my house or my rabbi says not to. I don't like it. I don't like the fact she does that. Oh, that's a different issue. I need to go to Hashem and say, why is this happening? What's going on here, Hashem? Surely, you know, we should be together on this. We should be like at the same level. We should be, what's going on here? There's something, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to tell me? What do I need to do? Because that's all about me. You're fair. She's the mirror, right? Does it mean that I'm eating, keeping at a different level where I shouldn't be? Hashem is showing me in the mirror. Does it mean that I need to do teshuva on the fact that I ate, I don't know, bacon burger dogs in the past or whatever it is, right? What is it? There's something going on here that you're threatening. This is not obvious. It's not obvious that she would eat that. It's a clear sign from Hashem that something's going on here. It's something unusual. Whenever Hashem is sending me something unusual, I need to say, what's the message, Hashem? What are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell me? What's going on here? Have that conversation with Hashem. That's Hashem. He will show me, and then it will disappear. And now it will all disappear, and I won't have to do anything. I never have to say anything to my wife. And I might have to put up with it for a long, long time. But that's either only because I didn't pray enough, or didn't ask Hashem enough, or I didn't yet work enough on that thing. Could be Gaava. We don't do that. Like we don't do that, and I've got this big gap on my shoulder. If anyone saw us doing that, right? And Hashem wants to knock that out of me. But eventually, I just don't care. Like for example, let's say my wife doesn't bench, and it really upsets me that she doesn't bench. Right? It's her free will. She knows the rule that she meant to bench. She doesn't bench. I'm not saying anything to her. I'm not allowed to say anything to her. If I bench, I bench. She doesn't. She wasn't want to. She doesn't. That's her choice. Hashem, why are you sending this to me? Why are you doing this to me? So I can have a number of reasons. Could be that my benching is not really benching. I'm just like, see, I benched. Well, maybe I really actually didn't really bench. I looked like I was benching, but maybe. Could be that. Could be because the reason why do I care that my wife doesn't bench? Because people see. Go for out for Shabbos. There I am at the table at the end of the meal. And my wife's still flicking, eating the chocolate cake or whatever it was. And I'm really embarrassed. And Hashem's going to keep that going for weeks and months until I get that embarrassment which translates as gava, pride, out of my system. And eventually I'm not going to care anymore. Eventually it's not going to bother me. She can do what she wants, and it's not bothering me, right? And once I've got rid of that as a part of my ego, suddenly, oh, hey, Preston, my wife decided around the court she's going to start mentioning that. Right? And it will continue until I've cleaned myself up or whatever it is Hashem wants to clean me from. It has nothing to do with her, per se. She's only a tool in Hashem's hand to fix me. It's a huge ga'avah, it's a huge pride to think, on one side, to think that the only reason my wife is here is to fix me. Everything she's doing is only to fix me. All of the nations are only here for Am Yisrael. I don't think I say that. That's true, right? There's an Indian of that idea. My wife is only here to fix me. Right? That should both make me feel full of myself, unfortunately, but also very humble. Because she has to come down here and suffer what she suffers, which is probably a lot worse than I suffer, frankly. Only on my account. She's here to do that for me. Right? How bad? I should feel really bad about that. So I should try my best that she doesn't have to suffer. All the suffering she's going through is only because I haven't sorted myself out yet. Unfortunately. So, I'm not here to fix her. If I do that, I'm focusing on the wrong half of the equation. I'm looking for the easy fix. I'm looking to try and make the problem go away. Right? And that's not what... Hashem doesn't send me problems so I try and make them go away. Hashem sends me problems in a nutshell that I do tshuva. He wants to use a conversation. My whole life is a conversation with Hashem. Everything that's happening to me and around me and that affects me is a conversation with Hashem. He's speaking to me. He's trying to tell me something. I can either pick up on the messages or not. That's free choice. Right? Hashem gives us complete free choice to see him or not to see him. Right? And he'll just keep going. Oh, you didn't get that message. You get the next hint. And now, unfortunately, the hint gets louder. Knocking gets louder. The discomfort gets louder. Till eventually, I surrender. I say, Tov, okay, Hashem, I give up now. At this point, I give up. I fight. Ignore. Try and hide. Try and find any way around the problem without... But that's my nature. I don't want to change. I'm stubborn. I have that stiff neck quality. Comes in handy sometimes, but not when I'm trying to make sugar. I don't want to change. Tom, anyway, so what we're saying? We're saying that if our wife is not yet on the same page spiritually, then it's not for me to try and change her. It's not for me to show her the error of her ways. It's for me to do the opposite, to actually be nice to her, being even more wonderful a husband than I normally am, so that she can see that two things. First of all, from the positive side, that she sees that following Torah mitzvot is actually really good. She sees it's a good thing. She sees how much better a husband I am now that I study in yeshiva. How much more attentive, how much more caring, how much more giving I am now. So she's very happy, she's very good. She encourages it. And on the other side, the fact that I don't criticize her and I don't try and change her, make her do what I think she should be doing, means that she won't blame the religion and Hashem for having to suffer through me. If I now try to make her, against her will, keep Torah mitzvahs, she's going to hate me and hate religion. She's going to link the two. And she's never going to want to... Right? We should have to be very careful about that with our kids. A very difficult job for a husband, for a father, to educate his kids in the way of Torah. Because if we try and force our kids, anything that you're forced on you, and remember as a kid, anything that your parents forced you to do, you hated and you rebelled against. If they made you eat sprouts, or whatever green vegetable was common in your locale, as soon as you got out of the house, you refused to eat the stuff. Even if it was quite nice, it was actually quite tasty. I'm not eating that. Why? Because I was made to. Not eating that. makes it. Same is true with us, for our kids. If we make them do anything, we force them against their will to do it, and usually under threat rather than bribe, because the bribes run out very quickly. Then, as soon as the chance they get, they'll flee away. But if they come to it of their own accord, then that's their own personal decision. They'll stick with it. Be something that's strong with them because they chose it. It's a very fine balancing line. It's very hard for a parent to, especially parents with Baal Teshuvah, who wants his kids to do all the stuff that he didn't do. And I have no clue how to make them do it, because my parents never gave that to me. They never showed me all that stuff. So I have no idea how to pass it on. So what do? I don't know. Come to shul with me. I know. Put to fill it up. I know. I wish in my state, think it wrongly, but I wish my father would have made me put on tefillin. It's not true. I think that to myself. Never, right? And so I think, well, maybe that's what I need to do to my kids, to give them that. It's very hard. It's not impossible. It doesn't mean that Hashem put me in a situation that I can never get through. But it takes a lot of prayer. Reading books of Rav Shalom on child education, Shalom Bayit, etc., etc. Hashem gives us the tools we need. Doesn't leave us completely abandoned. We have what we need. If we're looking for it. And if there's not a book on the subject that I need, so I need to pray to Hashem. Hashem, what should I do in this situation? Tov, back to our Shalom Bayit. So in our Shalom Bayit situation, the husband is keeping Torah mitzvah and his wife isn't. So, this is another area where a person should not forego his Shalom Bayit for anything. He sees his wife is doing something against Halakha. There is almost zero chance of keeping your Shalom Bayit if you say anything. Almost zero chance. It could be, I'm saying almost zero, it could be that the wife just forgot and she needs you to remind her. Could be. And if Hashem's very kind to you, right, you could be okay there. Just to remind. And she literally did forget. But you've got to be on pretty strong ground. Otherwise, it's liable to wreck a person's Shalom Bayit. Vegam im ze loker zman aruch. And even if it takes a long time, and the wife's still not changing, sarich sheyivater v'yamtin, the husband still needs to continue to yivater, to forego, to give himself up, to waive his desire, his wishes, v'yamtin, and to wait. Ki gadol hu shalom, because so great is peace. V'aderech ha'ukah hi be'emet ha'derech ha'kaserah. And really, the long road is really the short road. Shetovil l'chaim shel osher, which will lead to a life of happiness. Ve'ilu ha'derech ha'kaserah shu'otzim, sh'asheni miyad yibatel l'da'atacha. And if you want to go what looks to be the shortcut, that you want to cause your spouse to immediately to negate their opinion in favor of what you want. Zohi derech arukam od. This is actually a very long road. She'ina movila l'shum pitoron. That's not going to lead you to any solution. Rak l'merivot l'agmat nefesh. Only to fights and pain of the soul. And who knows where these things could lead to, right? Looks like it's the easy route. And again, same thing with child education, but here, subject to Shalom Bayit, to force our wives, our children to do what we want, looks like the shortcut. It's really a very long road that takes to fix. Can take years and years, if you're lucky, to fix something that looks like it's a quick fix, that looks like it's easy. Oh, just make them do it. It's not a sensible option. Bemaalech hashanim sha'anu oskim b'shalom bayit. During the many years that I've worked in the area of Shalom Bayit, Rav Shalom writes, Ra'inu etzer b'veivor ein sof amim. I've seen this in practice clearly countless number of times. V'navikan maaseh shehayinu eidim lo shememachamish dot biyoteh. And he brings now an example where this is clearly shown. So it's quite a long story now, so I'm going to stop there for today. We reach 3 o'clock, but Hashem will read that. Read it tomorrow.